أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا لا تدخلوا بيوت النبي إلا أن يؤذن لكم إلى طعام غير ناظرين إناه، ولكن إذا دعيتم فادخلوا فإذا طعمتم فانتشروا ولا مستأنسين لحديث، إن ذلكم كان يؤذي النبي فيستحي منكم، والله لا يستحي من الحق. وإذا سألتموهن متاعا فاسألوهن من وراء حجاب، ذلكم أطهر لقلوبكم وقلوبهن، وما كان لكم أن تؤذوا رسول الله ولا أن تنكحوا أزواجه من بعده أبدا، إن ذلكم كان عند الله عظيما. إن تبدوا شيئا أو تخفوه فإن الله كان بكل شيء عليما. لا جناح عليهن في آبائهن ولا أبنائهن ولا إخوانهن ولا أبناء إخوانهن ولا أبناء أخواتهن ولا نسائهن ولا ما ملكت أيمانهن، واتقين الله، إن الله كان على كل شيء شهيدا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. Today inshallah we're going to start the tafsir of ayah number 53 in Surah Al-Ahzab. And in this chapter, in this lesson, we're going to discuss a few issues. One of the issues is the issue of the etiquette of how we should visit somebody's house when he's inviting us for dinner. The second thing, the ayat of hijab was revealed, and this will be mentioned, how the Azwaj al-Mutahharat, meaning the wives of the Prophet ﷺ, they were forbidden to marry after the Prophet ﷺ, and also the importance of salawat upon the Prophet ﷺ, sending salutations upon him, praying for the Prophet ﷺ. All of these issues will be discussed today. Firstly, the issue of visiting somebody's house for dinner. What is the etiquette behind that? First of all, we should not enter the house without permission. We should only enter the house when we are invited. And secondly, unless we are visiting and, you know, for a visitation, that's a different thing. But whenever we visit the house or enter the house, it should be only with the permission of the owner of the house. Secondly, we should not be basically hanging around places expecting to be invited for dinner. This is something also forbidden. And if somebody invites us, we should not go too early. Okay, this is the third thing. And after we finished eating, we should try our best not to become a hindrance upon the host, but to try to leave as soon as possible. And this is what has been mentioned in this verse that we are going to talk about. And this basically took place with the Prophet ﷺ, and we're going to read some riwayat related to it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا O people of Iman, don't enter the houses of the Prophet إِلَّا أَن يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ except if permission is given to you. إِلَّا أَن يُؤْذَنَ لَكُمْ إِلَى طَعَامٍ except if permission is given to you for food. When you are invited for food, then you can go. غَيْرَ نَاظِرِينَ إِنَا but not waiting there. Okay, not waiting there, this has two meanings. One meaning is that a person basically goes too early, or that a person is not really invited, but just he sticks around the house with the expectation that the person is going to ask him for food. And he's just basically becoming a nuisance. After that Allah says, وَلَكِنْ إِذَا دُعِيتُمْ But if you are invited, فَادْخُلُوا Enter. فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ Once you've eaten, فَانْتَشِرُوا Then spread out, meaning go back home. وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ And don't spend the night in conversation. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكُمْ كَانَ يُؤْذِ النَّبِيَّ فَيَسْتَحِي مِنْكُمْ. Indeed, that bothers the Prophet ﷺ, that hurts the Prophet ﷺ, but he is ashamed of you. Meaning he is ashamed to say it to you. As any host who has manners, he will not want to throw his guests out and tell them, okay, you have to leave now. So the Prophet ﷺ also, he was ashamed and embarrassed to tell people to leave, even though they were staying there for a long time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this hurts the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he is afraid of you or he's embarrassed of you. Wallahu la yastahi min al-haq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's not embarrassed of the truth. Okay, so this is about the etiquette of eating. And when did this ayah get revealed? It's mentioned that during one of the marriages of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam invited a lot of people to the house for walima to feed them, and the people ate, and most of them came and they basically ate and they left. But what happened was that after that, there were three people remaining who kept on talking and talking and talking. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he got up once or twice, basically he left the room, basically trying to hint to them that they should basically leave. And they didn't get the message. But then after a couple of times, when they realized the Prophet ﷺ seems a bit agitated, they realized and then they hurried up and they left. So after that, this ayah was revealed. And from that, we can basically derive the rules and the etiquette of going to a person's house and eating. And particularly, for example, if a person is going, he's invited on a Sunday night. Next day is a work day. Okay, and a person insists on eating, and then insists on the host bringing tea, and then insists on the dessert and whatever it is that a person is insisting, and the person has to go to work in the morning, and he basically is now regretting that he even invited the people to his house. So what a person should do, he should have a very balanced approach for when he goes to the person's house to eat. He should eat and try to leave as soon as possible. Now amongst the women there is a bit of an issue that if you eat and leave, the women say, okay, oh, you just ate and left, that looks so rude, you know, it looks like you just came to eat. Well, that's why he invited us, right, to eat. Okay, so you should eat and talk for a little while if you want to, just to entertain the guest and, you know, be nice to him. And then after a while, you realize it's getting late, you basically take permission and leave. Unless, of course, he insists by himself, then that's another story. Then a person should feel comfortable with staying there, but otherwise he should try to leave, keeping in mind the situation. It's also mentioned that there was a bit of a miracle that took place in this same situation that is mentioned in the ayah. It's mentioned from Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, who says, أعرس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ببعض نسائه فصنعت أم سليم حيسا ثم جعلته في تور. It's mentioned that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he got married to one of his wives, and Umm Sulaym or Umm Salim, she made something which is known as hais. Hais is a food which was mixed with dates and butter and cheese. Okay, it's a mixture of three or four things. And Umm Salim, she made this and she sent it to the Prophet ﷺ. She put it in a tawr. Tawr is a small cup or a small bowl which is used for drinking. فَقَالَتْ اِذْهَبْ بِهَذَا إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ. She said, take this to the Prophet ﷺ. وَأَقْرِهُ مِنِّي السَّلَامِ. And say salam to him. وَأَخْبِرْهُ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنَّا لَهُ قَلِيلٌ. And tell him that this thing we made for him, it's a little bit, it's specially for him. Meaning, you know, it's a special thing that I made especially for him. It's not too much that he could share it with other people. It is something that he should eat by himself, and it's specially for him. قَالَ أَنَسْ وَالنَّاسُ يَوْمَئِذٍ فِي جَهْدٍ. The people in those days were in a lot of difficulty, hardship in terms of hunger and so on. فَجِئْتُ بِهِ. I brought this thing to the Prophet ﷺ. فَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. I said, O Prophet of Allah, بَعْثَتْ بِهَذَا أُمُّ سَلِيمٍ إِلَيْكَ أُمِّ سَلِيمٍ She sent this to you, and وَهِيَ تُخْرِئُكَ السَّلَامِ وَتَقُولُ أَخْبِرْهُ أَنَّ هَذَا مِنَّا لَهُ قَلِيلٌ She is saying salam to you, and she is saying that this little gift is for him only. فَنَظَرَ إِلَيْكَ The Prophet ﷺ looked at it, ثُمَّ قَالْ ضَعْهُ put it down. فَوَضَعَهُ فِي نَحْيَةِ الْبَيْتِ He put it in a corner of the house. ثُمَّ قَالْ Then he said, اِذْهَبْ فَدْعُ لِي فُلَانًا وَفُلَانًا Go and call such and such a person and such and such a person. فَسَمَّى رِجَالًا كَثِيرًا And he mentioned a lot of names. وَقَالْ وَمَنْ لَقِيْتَ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And then on top of that, he went on to say, whoever you meet from the Muslims, just call them. Whoever you meet, any Muslim you meet, just call him to my house. فَدَعَوْتُ مَنْ قَالَ لِي So I called whoever he told me to. وَمَنْ لَقِيْتُ مِنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ And whoever I met from the Muslims. فَجِئْتُ وَالْبَيْتُ وَالصُّفَّةُ وَالْحُجْرَةُ مَلْأَ مِنَ النَّاسِ And I came and the whole house and the suffa, meaning the suffa where the people used to sit to gather knowledge in the Masjid al-Nabawi, and the room of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was full of people. فَقُلْتُ يَا أَبَا عُثْمَانَ كَمْ كَانُوا The Rawi, he says that I asked, O Abu Uthman, how many were there in this gathering? فَقَالْ كَانُوا زُهَا ثَلَاثَ مِيَا There were approximately 300 people there. قَالَ أَنَسْ فَقَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ جِئْبِهِ Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Anas that bring that thing to me, bring the bowl to me. فَجِئْتُ بِهِ إِلَيْهِ فَوَضَعَ يَدَهُ عَلَيْهِ وَدَعَى So I brought it to him and he put his hand on top of it and he made a dua. وَقَالْ مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ And then he said, مَا شَاءَ اللَّهُ ثُمَّ قَالْ لِيَتَحَلَّقْ عَشَرَ عَشَرَ وَلْيُسَمُّ Each one of you should get into groups of 10-10, make halaqa of 10-10, make circles of 10-10, and each one of you should say, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلْيَأْكُلْ كُلُّ إِنسَانٍ مِمَّا يَلِيهِ And every person should eat from that which is close to him. فَجَعَلُوا يُسَمُّونَ وَيَأْكُلُونَ حَتَّى أَكَلُوا كُلُّهُمْ And they started saying Bismillah and eating until all of them had eaten. فَقَالَ لِي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ اِرْفَعْهُ The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said to me, raise it, meaning pick it up. قال فجئت فأخذت الطور And it says, I came and I took this bowl. فنظرت فما أدري أهو حين وضعت أكثر أم حين أخذت And I saw it and I didn't know whether there was more after I picked it up or more when I actually put it down. It seemed like that when I picked it up, there was more than when I had actually left it. Then after that, the riwaya goes on to talk about how, you know, people basically sat and this bothered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the things that I've just mentioned about the people that stayed and kept on talking. Okay, so this miracle that took place, it also took place at the same time as the revelation of this ayah. Also here is mentioned the ayah of hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes on to say, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ When you ask them for anything, then ask them from beyond a hijab, a hindrance. Hijab actually means a type of a wall or a hindrance. So if you are to ask them for something, then ask them from beyond a hijab. This ayah, or this portion of the ayah, was one of those ayahs which were revealed, which are known as Muwafiqat Umar. Muwafiqat Umar means, Umar radiallahu anhu, he suggested things to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and in accordance with his suggestion, ayat were revealed. It's mentioned in Sahihain that Umar radiallahu anhu says, وَافَقْتُ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلْ فِي ثَلَاثٍ I agreed with my Lord in three things, or my situation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala agreed in three things. My ideas agreed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in three things. Which were they? قُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ لَوِ اتَّخَذْتَ مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى I asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what if we make the Maqam Ibrahim a place of praying? Meaning the place where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam stood and his footprints are there. What if we make that a place to pray? So any haji who makes tawaf, what does he do? He tries to pray his 2 raka'ah of umrah facing the Maqam Ibrahim. So facing Maqam Ibrahim and the Kaaba at the same time. And this is the recommended way to do it. So when I gave this suggestion, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed an ayah in the Quran, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى, that hold the Maqam Ibrahim as a place of praying. وَقُلْتُ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّ نِسَاءَكَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَيْهِنَّ الْبِرُّ وَالْفَاجِرُ فَلَوْ حَجَّبْتَهُنَّ فَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ آيَةَ الْحِجَابِ. And I also said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Prophet of Allah, indeed your wives, many people come and enter upon them. Some people are good, but others may be fujar. They may have corrupt and perverted minds. So why don't you ask them to make some sort of a hijab? So in response to that, or in agreement with that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah. وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ الْحِجَابِ. If you ask them for anything, then you should ask them from beyond a hijab. And also, وَقُلْتُ لِأَزْوَاجِ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ لَمَّا تَمَالَأْنَا عَلَيْهِ فِي الْغِيرَةِ عَسَى رَبُّهُ إِن طَلَّقَكُنَّ أَن يُبْدِلَهُ أَزْوَاجًا خَيْرًا مِنْكُنَّ فَنَزَلَتْ كَذَلِكَ. And also, the situation that took place, which is mentioned in Surah Al-Tahrim, where a few wives of the Prophet ﷺ, or a couple of them, got together and made a plan because of their jealousy of the Prophet ﷺ with his attachment to another wife. In response to that, Umar radiallahu anhu, he said to them that it is quite possible that if he divorced you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bring better wives for him who are obedient and who have many, many qualities. So in response to that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed a verse in the Quran, which is, Asa rabbuhu in tallaqakunna an yubdilahu azwajan khayran minkun, which is in Surah Al-Tahrim. فَنَزَلَتْ كَذَلِكَ. And in a riwayah of Muslim, also there's a fourth thing which is regarded as one of the muwafaqat of Umar, which was the mention of the captives of Badr. They were also mentioned when the Prophet ﷺ was taking opinions as to what should be done with them. Umar radiallahu anhu, he had one opinion, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu had another opinion, but he went with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's opinion. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala liked Umar radiallahu anhu's opinion better, and in Suratul Anfal, towards the end of it, some verses which were revealed which were in accordance with the opinion of Umar radiallahu anhu. So these ayat were known as Muwafiqat Umar, meaning those things, those ayat, which agreed with Umar radiallahu anhu. So the ayah was, وَإِذَا سَأَلْتُمُهُنَّ مَتَاعًا فَاسْأَلُوهُنَّ مِنْ وَرَاءِ حِجَابٍ. If you ask them for anything, then ask them from beyond a hijab, beyond a hindrance, meaning it should not be that a person is basically just glaring and looking and staring at the wives of the Prophet ﷺ. He should guard himself, he should guard his eyes and not look at the wives of the Prophet ﷺ in a way which is inappropriate. ذَلِكُمْ أَطْهَرُ لِقُلُوبِكُمْ وَقُلُوبِهِنْ. This is much more purer for your hearts and for their hearts. وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْذُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. And it's not appropriate for you that you should harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's not appropriate for you that you should harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in any way, shape or form, especially when a person is harmed in regards to his wives. Then of course this is a very hurtful situation with people who are dear and near to him, a person's daughter, a person's sister, a person's mother, a person's relative, a person's wife. It is more hurtful than any other situation. So there's a riwayah in which the Prophet ﷺ was approached by a sahabi who said, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission to make zina. So, if we were there, we would have beaten this person up. But the Prophet ﷺ, with his hikmah, he said, what if somebody asked you, wanted to make zina with your mother? What if somebody wanted to make zina with your sister? What if somebody wanted to make zina with your daughter? What if somebody wanted to make zina with your wife? So, the person understood that just like I have a wife, I have a sister, I have a mother, I have a daughter, the person that I want to commit zina with, they are also the wives, the daughters, the sisters of somebody. And he understood, and he went away satisfied, and he made tawbah. And this is what it is, that وَمَا كَانَ لَكُمْ أَن تُؤْثُوا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. It's not appropriate for you that you should harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning should not have any ill intention towards any of his wives. وَلَا أَن تَنْكِحُوا أَزْوَاجَهُ مِن بَعْدِهِ أَبَدًا. And also, it is not appropriate for you, it is not permissible for you, that you should marry any of his wives afterwards. Ever. So, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they are the ummahatul mu'mineen, they are the mothers of the believers, and as such, they become haram, for it was haram for them, it was not permissible for them to get married after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu that this ayah was revealed about a person who had intended to marry one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is mentioned that it's possible that it was Talha ibn Ubaidillah, and the person that he was intending to marry was Aisha radiallahu anha. But then of course this intention went through his mind or something, and this ayah was revealed because of that. So basically, forever and ever, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became impermissible for anybody to marry after that. Inna dhalikum kana 'inda Allahi 'azima. Indeed, this is something which is huge in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is not something which is to be taken lightly. In tubdu shay'an aw tukhfuhu fa inna Allaha kana bi kulli shay'in 'alima. Whether you openly do things or whether you do them in secret, then indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has full knowledge of everything. So any thought that a person has in his mind, any waswasa that a person has in his mind, anything that he does openly, anything that he does secretly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is fully aware of it. And this thing that we've just mentioned, maybe the thought went through his mind of marrying one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam after his death, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes exceptions for those people that can come and go freely within the confines of the houses of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Allah says, لَا جُنَاحَ عَلَيْهِنَّ فِي آبَائِهِمْ. There is no harm upon them in their fathers, meaning their fathers can come and go. وَلَا أَبْنَائِهِنْ. Or their children, meaning if they have children from a previous marriage, they can come and go also as they please. وَلَا إِخْوَانِهِنْ. Nor their brothers. وَلَا أَبْنَاءِ إِخْوَانِهِمْ. Or the children of their brothers, or the sons of their brothers. وَلَا أَبْنَاءِ أَخَوَاتِهِمْ. Nor the sons of their sisters. وَلَا نِسَائِهِمْ. And, of course, the women can come and go as they please. وَلَا مَا مَلَكَتْ إِيمَانُهُنْ. And also the slaves, what their right hands possess. And the scholars say that by slaves it meant women or servants, not all slaves or all servants, only the female slaves. وَاتَّقِينَ اللَّهِ. And this is addressing the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You should have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَلَىٰ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ شَهِيدًا. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a witness of everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sees everything. Just as a side note before we continue, what about an invitation? What is the ruling about an invitation? The sunnah is to accept an invitation, and it is one of the rights of our fellow Muslims. When a Muslim invites us for food, it is sunnah that we should respond and accept that invitation, because this is a sign of love and affection for you, that he is inviting you to his house for food. So you should accept it, unless you know that there's some doubt about the food, or there's going to be some haram activity being done at that place, then you can refuse, but otherwise you should accept it. It's mentioned in a hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, إِذَا دَعَا أَحَدُكُمْ أَخَاهُ فَلْيُجِبْ عُرْسًا كَانْ أَوْ غَيْرُ. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if one of you invites his brother, then he should respond, meaning he should accept that invitation, whether it's a marriage or other things. So again, the marriage specifically, when there is, when you know that there's not going to be anything haram there, then it's permissible to take that invitation, or it's even encouraged. And it's also mentioned in a hadith, لَوْ دُعِيتُ إِلَىٰ ذِرَاعٍ لَأَجَبْتُ وَلَوْ أُهْدِيَ إِلَيَّ قُرَاعٍ لَقَبِلْتُ فَإِذَا فَرَغْتُم مِّنَ الَّذِي دُعِيتُمْ إِلَيْهِ فَخَفِّفُوا عَنْ أَهْلِ الْمَنْزِلِ وَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ. That if I was invited to a dhira', dhira' means the shoulder of an animal, of a goat or a sheep. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like that a lot, the shoulder, because it's the meat is very tender, the meat is nicer, the meat is softer of the shoulder than the hind legs, and that's why the Prophet ﷺ used to prefer that. And he goes on to say, وَلَوْ أُهْدِيَ إِلَيِّ قُرَاعٍ لَقَبِلْتُ. If I was given what we call in Urdu bay, bay is the trotters of the sheep and lamb, if they were given to me, then this is a simple thing. Many people don't like it, but a lot of people do like it. It's a delicacy in many countries. If I was given these trotters, I would accept even this simple thing. And then the hadith goes on to say that when you have finished from that you've been invited to, then خَفِّفُوا عَنْ أَهْلِ الْمَنْزِلِ, then don't become a burden upon the dwellers of the household, وَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ, and spread out onto the earth, meaning leave the place as soon as you've eaten. So these are the riwayat which are related to invitations. After that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهُ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. You've probably heard this ayah many, many times before. It refers to the salawat of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when we send salawat upon him, when we send salutations upon him. Allah says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels, they send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, they send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam. What does it mean when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salutations? We mentioned it in a lesson, a couple of lessons before this. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning salawat about himself, then that, according to one opinion, it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's praising his slave in front of his angels. That look at my slave, I'm happy with him, and he's engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he's engaged in my worship. So he talks proudly in front of the angels about his pious slave. So this is one opinion. And the other opinion is, according to Sufyan al-Thawri, that when it's mentioned that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salawat upon his slave, it means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his rahmah upon his slave. And when it's mentioned about the malaika, that the malaika, they send salawat, it means that they make istighfar and they seek forgiveness for his slave. So Allah says, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels, they send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And according to each definition, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends his salawat, the malaika sends their salawat. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. O people of Iman, you also send salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and send your salam upon him. So this is a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are many, many hadith which talk about the importance of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's mentioned that Ka'b ibn Ujrah, he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, قِيلَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَمَّا السَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ فَقَدْ عَرَفْنَاهُ فَكَيْفَ صَلَاةٌ. We know as-salamu alayk, meaning what does it mean? We know what as-salam means, وَيُسَلِّمُ تَسْلِيمًا. So that can have two meanings. Either it's the regular salam, when we come to you we say as-salamu alaykum, or it can mean what is in at-tahiyyat. When we say at-tahiyyatu lillahi wa-salawatu wa-tayyibatu, as-salamu alayka ayyuhan nabiyyu. Okay, it can also mean that. So the sahabi said, we know what as-salam means, but what about salat? What does it mean in the Quran? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, say this, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama sallaita ala ali Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad kama barakta ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka Hamidum Majid. And there are some riwayat which with variations in wording slightly, but the gist of it is the same. So from this the scholars have derived that the best salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is with this wording. If we can do the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam frequently with this wording, then this is the best thing. If not, the very least and the minimum that we should do is when we hear the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we should say at least sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also it's mentioned about Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah that he says that salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in salat, it becomes wajib because of this ayah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded it. So when it's a command from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have to make salawat in the actual salat. It is an essential and integral part of the salat, which the majority of the scholars don't agree with. This is the opinion of Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah. The majority of the scholars say that it's sunnah to send salawat in the salat itself, and the salat will be valid without it. But, you know, we should not leave it without any reason in any case. There are other riwayat which talk about the benefits of sending the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is mentioned in one hadith that أولى الناس بي يوم القيامة أكثرهم علي صلاة. The closest person to me on the Day of Judgment will be the person who makes the most salawat upon me. And also is mentioned that once the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up. قام رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فتوجه نحو صدقته فدخل فاستقبل القبلة فخر ساجدا فأطال السجود حتى ظننت أن الله قد قبض نفسه فيها فدنوت منه ثم جلست فرفع راسه فقال. It's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he once went into sajda and he made a very very long sajda. And the rawi of the hadith, it's Abdurrahman ibn Auf, he says that he made such a long sajda that I felt that maybe he is passed away. So I went close to him to see if he was okay, and he lifted up his head. And he said, "Man hada? Who is this?" قلت عبدالرحمن. I said, "It's Abdurrahman." قال ما شأنك? What's wrong? What do you want? قلت يا رسول الله سجدت سجدة خشيت أن يكون الله قبض روحك فيها. That you made such a long sajda that I was afraid that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken your ruh in that sajda. فقال إن جبريل أتاني فبشرني أن الله عز وجل يقول لك من صلى عليك صليت عليه ومن سلم عليك سلمت فسجدت لله عز وجل شكرا. That Jibreel alayhi salam, he came to me and he told me the good news. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has said that whoever sends salawat upon you, O Prophet of Allah, then I will send salawat upon that person. And whoever sends salam upon you, I will send salam upon that person. So, out of gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I made this very, very long sajda. And in another riwayah, it's mentioned that Abu Talha, Abdullah ibn Abi Talha, narrates from his father, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ja'a dhata yawmin, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came one day, وَالسُّرُورُ يُرَى فِي وَجْهِ, and happiness was dripping from his face. You could see the happiness in his face. فَقَالُوا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ إِنَّا لَنَرَى السُّرُورَ فِي وَجْهِكَ. O Prophet of Allah, we are seeing this happiness in your face. فَقَالُ إِنَّهُ أَتَانِ الْمَلَكُ. An angel came to me. فَقَالَ يَا مُحَمَّدُ أَمَا يُرْضِيكَ أَنَّ رَبَّكَ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَقُولُ. Does this thing not make you happy that your Lord is saying to you, إِنَّهُ لَا يُصَلِّ عَلَيْكَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِكَ إِلَّا صَلَّيْتُ عَلَيْهِ عَشْرًا. Whenever anybody from your ummah, he sends one salat upon you, I will send 10 salutations upon that person. 10 times salat will be sent upon the person who sends salat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. وَلَا يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْكَ أَحَدٌ مِّنْ أُمَّتِكَ إِلَّا سَلَّمْتُ عَلَيْهِ عَشْرًا. قُلْتُ بَلَى. That when somebody sends salam upon you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sends 10 salams upon that person. And I said to the angel, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I said to the angel, of course this makes me happy. And that's why you can see that I have happiness in my face. And there are many, many riwayat about this. And it's in one riwayat, it's narrated by Anas radiallahu anhu, who said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, من صلى عليه صلاة واحدة صلى الله عليه عشر صلوات وحط عنه عشر خطيئات. That on top of the 10 salawat that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends, 10 of his sins will also be forgiven when a person sends salawat upon the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And of course, the condemnation of the person who does not send the salat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam is also mentioned in a hadith. It's mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, "Al-bakhilu man dhukirtu 'indahu thumma lam yusalli 'alayya." The true bakhil, the true stingy person, is the person in front of whom I am mentioned and he doesn't send salawat upon me. And also, it's mentioned, you've probably heard this hadith many times, where the Prophet ﷺ was ascending the minbar and he said, "Ameen, Ameen, Ameen," 3 times on each step. One of those Ameens was for a dua that Jibreel ﷺ had said, that may that person be destroyed in front of whom your name is mentioned, O Prophet of Allah, and he doesn't send salawat upon you. And the Prophet ﷺ said Ameen to that dua. So if you can imagine the destruction of that person. Okay, Jibreel alayhi salam is making the dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying Ameen to the dua. So, how important it is to send the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's very, very important. So, the scholars say that, again, there's a difference of opinions about the obligation of sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some scholars, because of these ahadith, say that every time the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is mentioned, it is wajib to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is one opinion. Some scholars say that it is enough for a person to say sallallahu alaihi wasallam one time in one majlis, and that is going to be sufficient to fulfill the obligation. And other scholars, they say that it's enough to fulfill the obligation even once in a lifetime. If a person says it, then the obligation is fulfilled. But of course, we should do as much as we can. We should not think that it's sufficient to just say it one time in our lifetime. We should do it as much as possible, because of all the hasanat and all of the benefits that we are sure to get by making this salat. There's another issue that we have to keep in mind. How about sending salawat upon a non-prophet? Non-prophet meaning a person who is not a prophet. Are we allowed to do that? So the scholars say that, again, there are two opinions about this. A small minority of scholars say that it is permissible based upon certain verses of the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it says, "Huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuh." Allah, He sends salawat upon you, meaning people, He's talking in general, not about the prophets. "Huwa alladhi yusalli alaykum wa malaikatuh." He is the one who sends salawats upon you, all of you. And also, it's mentioned about those people that say, "Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un," and they have sabr at the time of any musibah. Allah says, "Ulaika alayhim salawatun min rabbihim wa rahmah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sends salawat upon them and mercy upon them. So based upon these verses, some scholars say it is permissible to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for even a non-prophet, a person who's not a prophet. But the majority of the scholars say no, it is not permissible to say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for anybody else other than the prophets. And why? In terms of meaning, there is nothing wrong with it. But in terms of something which has been specifically allotted for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, that thing cannot be used for anybody else. That thing, it cannot be used for anybody else. And that is basically, for example, we say about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allahu Azza wa Jal. Now Azza wa Jal, by meaning, if we use that for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Muhammad Azza wa Jal. Meaning wise, it's not wrong. Meaning wise, it doesn't do anything bad. It basically means, Azza means he has Izza, he is basically respected. Wa Jal, he has Jalal, meaning again, respect and honor and grandeur. But because Azza wa Jal is used and basically allocated for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is not appropriate to use it for the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Similarly, it is not appropriate to use sallallahu alayhi wasalam for anybody other than the prophets. So this is something we can say, for example, for a non-prophet, we could say rahmatullahi alayhi, or For the Sahaba, it's allocated that we say radiallahu anhum. So these things that are allocated, we should try to stick to them as much as possible. And this has been mentioned by Ibn Kathir, the issue of Ali radiallahu anhu. Yes, we respect him a lot, and we have the ultimate respect for Ali radiallahu anhu. But some scholars, they go into this issue of using sallallahu alayhi wasallam for Ali radiallahu anhu also. And that might be because of Shia influence or whatever it is, but it is not appropriate, it's not permissible to use sallallahu alayhi wasallam for anybody other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. So this is something that we should keep in mind. It is mentioned, the last thing that I just mentioned, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz once, he says, he wrote a letter to somebody, he said, أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ نَاسًا مِنَ النَّاسِ قَدْ الْتَمَسُ الدُّنْيَا بِعَمَلِ الْآخِرَةِ. Some people, they've started using and gaining the dunya by doing deeds which are related to the hereafter. وَإِنَّ نَاسًا مِنَ الْقِصَاصِ قَدْ أَحْدَثُوا فِي الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى خُلَفَائِهِمْ وَأُمَرَائِهِمْ عَدْلَ الصَّلَاةِ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ. There are some people who have started using the word as-salat, meaning sallallahu alayhi wasallam, upon the khulafa and the umara, meaning the amirs, and making that equivalent to the salat of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. فَإِذَا جَاءَكَ كِتَابِ هَذَا فَمُرْهُمْ أَن تَكُونَ صَلَاتُهُمْ عَلَى النَّبِيِّينَ وَدُوَاعُهُمْ لِلْمُسْلِمِينَ عَامَةً وَيَدْعُوا مَا سِوَى ذَلِكَ. When this letter comes to you, tell the people that the salawat have to be only for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and the general dua has to be for the general people, and other than that, people should stop doing what they're doing. Okay, so based upon this letter of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz and the opinions of the scholars, it is not permissible for us to send salawat upon the Prophet other than the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. There's one more point briefly that I should mention, that if, for example, you are sending salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad, okay, wa ala azwaji Muhammad, then this is permissible, because you are doing it taban, you are doing it basically as in basically a response or subsequently after mentioning the salawat upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that is permissible. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, O Allah, send salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa ala ali Muhammad, and upon the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa ala azwaji Muhammad, wa ala ashabi Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this way it's permissible. But to directly say Allahumma salli ala azwaji Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allah, send salutations upon the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Allahumma salli ala ashabi Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that is not permissible. Only when it is followed by sending salutations upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would it be permissible. I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard. Aqulu qawli hadha wa astaghfirullah li wa lakum wa lisa'iril muslimin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwal ghafurur rahim.